Hey, parents, weren't your kids a screen addicted? Missing on the real fun and learning? Join me for a chat with Michael Jacobs, founder of the Reset Summer Camp. We discuss tech addiction, parenting, share tips, stories, and ideas for navigating the digital age with your kids. Ready to bring back the childhood we enjoyed to share with our kids? Next on the podcast. Let's do this.
Welcome to the No Sitting on the Sideline Dad podcast, a podcast about a journey of discovery and conversations about not sitting on the sideline of life. Let's get involved. Here's host Joe Foley.
Welcome to No Sitting on the Sideline Dad podcast. Hey, my name is Joe Foley. I'm a dad, a parent, crazy busy adult like you in this world. I'm just like you. I take one step at a time, one shoe at a time. I'm just like you. I really want to say thank you for being here. I know your time is limited. You have a lot of other opportunities, and I really appreciate you listening. If this is your first time, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. This is a journey of discovery. You know, especially this today's conversation, we're going to talk about digital addiction, especially with kids nowadays. Parents, we're just the same. I mean, I know it. I get locked. I get scrolling. Next thing you know, it's like 10, 20 minutes gone by. So I know if it's addicted to me, I have an addiction to it. I know my son does too. I really appreciate you being here, and I think this is a really important conversation to have. So let's jump into the interview.
Are your kids really living the best life? Are they gone moss and captivating digital world? And I'm super excited to introduce my special guest, Michael Jacobs. He's a visionary revolutionary how to tackle tech addiction in children. With an incredible background of 30 years, Michael is the executive director of Reset Camp. It's an amazing program that combats overwhelming influence of screen. In enlightening conversation, we dive deep in the profound impact of screen time, explore practical tips to restore balance and connection. This podcast is more about the casual chat. It's a powerful wake-up call for parents, teachers, and everyone navigating the tech-driven era. Get ready for an eye-opening and through a provocative journey. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know what's interesting, too? I was thinking about the whole, especially screen addiction, how it's come over in the last few years and stuff like that. And I can remember, and it seemed like it doesn't that long ago, but my age, and I think, I remember video games when I was very young, and we'd play up Super Mario Brothers at 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know what your personal journey was, but I know that it was addictive back then.
Yeah, and it's funny, games are designed to be addictive, and they're only getting more and more addictive. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we had to go to the arcade with quarters to play video games at first. And then when video games came into the home, you know, that was a whole new level of addiction possibility. But the interesting thing there is when video games first came into the home, they had a screen that said game over. You actually finished the game, or you lost the game, or you rescued the princess or whatever, but the game ended. And today's games, with their online connectivity to the internet and people playing all around the world, that there is no end. There's always a new quest. There's always a new horde. There's always a new group. There's always something to do. There is no game over.
Well, do you have a personal journey, something you can share that maybe you had to deal with when it comes to on-screen addiction?
Well, my son, who's now 31, when he was a teenager, he became very addicted to World of Warcraft. And yes, that was one of the very first online multiplayer games, you know, that was a constant quest. And his mother and I really had to white knuckle him through high school. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to send him. You know, he wasn't behaving so badly that we needed to send him to a wilderness program or a therapeutic boarding school. But it was a daily struggle, and it was something we were completely unprepared for. And that's kind of what led me to start Reset Summer Camp.
Tell me a little about my Reset Summer Camp site. Sounds very interesting. I looked it up before, and I found it very, stuff that skills maybe kids need to learn, you teach there and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've been a summer camp director for 35 years. And, you know, I grew up going to summer camp and working at summer camp and then running summer camp. So I have summer camp in my blood. And most of them have been traditional camps or Boy Scout camps or YMCA camps, things like that. And then in 2018, when every kid in the country seemed to be addicted to Fortnite, and the World Health Organization came out with their statement that gaming disorder was now a diagnosable clinical thing, I got together with a couple therapists, friends of mine, and started Reset Summer Camp. So I combined my love for the growth potential of a summer camp program with a clinical aspect to deal with teens mostly who are addicted to technology, screens, video games, whatever it might be, to give them a detox and a good healthy dose of life skills. Our program is a month long and they learn social skills, they learn life skills. And I'm talking about basic laundry, basic cooking, how to pump a tank of gas, you know, things that they don't really know in today's world.
Well, it's interesting too, is in some of the stuff, the skills, the basic stuff you need to learn, because some parents look, because they look nowadays, it seems like a lot of like, especially like tablets, phones, are like, kid parents teach them like babysitters.
Yeah. Every time I see a kid in a restaurant with a rubber covered iPad, I just think to myself, there's a future camper.
But what are some of the, like, what are some of the kids you do see in the camp, and what are some of the issues you find?
Well, we see a lot of anxiety and depression, especially when they first arrive, because no kid wants to come to my program. You know, it's not like a traditional camp where I'm signing kids up for next year before they leave this year. Most kids think they're being punished. A lot of parents, I've told them to show their kid, you know, a website of a wilderness program and a website of a therapeutic boarding school program and our website, and they'll pick ours because it's the shortest. It's also usually the least expensive for the parents. But they don't want to come to camp. And their social skills are pretty much at zero. Wow. They spend all their time online. They communicate with foul language or abbreviations or emojis. You know, they are just largely incapable of communicating one-to-one in the real world.
Oh, wow. I'm curious. Have you seen some kids that come in, like, really disappointed, I don't want to be here, and leave like, I'm really excited, I want to come back, like, come back sometime?
Yeah. We actually, there's a photo on one of our social media pages of about six teenagers in one big group hug. And it was the last day of camp after 4 weeks because they didn't want to go because they had developed friendships and shared activities that weren't online. You know, we do a lot of traditional summer camp stuff. We'll go to the beach once a week. We play volleyball. We do art, we do music, you know, it's a summer camp, but there just happens to be group therapy three times a week, individual therapy every day, and a really strict schedule. You know, we go to bed early and we get up early and we have three meals a day in the dining hall of the university where the camp is at. And that's it. We're not snacking. We're not on our devices till 2 a.m. drinking Gatorade and eating Doritos. Yeah, we're having a really set, strict schedule. And by the end of the 4th week, they're all on board.
Well, it's interesting, too, is also kids will come in probably, what are some worst case scenarios have you seen?
Well, every year our screening process gets a little more tight, which is to say you can't just sign your kid up and send them to camp. You fill out an application, you answer, I think it's about 30 questions about your life at home with that kid. You know, what are their interests? What are they into? Why are you thinking about sending them to this program? How do they deal with anger? Have they ever been sent home before? You know, and their medical history and their therapeutic history and things like that. And then our clinician will review and contact the parent back and have a discussion about their application before they get approved. Now, we're coming into our 7th year, and the first couple of years, you know, we weren't as tight, and we did have some real extreme cases. So now we're screening those out and referring them to other programs because we're not an anger management program. You know, I had a mother contact me last year and said she wanted to send her 14-year-old to camp. The 14-year-old has come at her with a knife 3 times this month already, and she turned the Wi-Fi off, and the police have been to the house two times already. And I'm like, that's not us. We're not an anger management program. We're a digital detox and life skills program. So one thing we talk to parents all the time about is getting your kid assessed. I can tell you we have probably half the kids that come to camp every year have very evident psychological issues, be it Asperger's or ADD or autism or something. And there's none of it on their medical record. There's none of it from their parents. They've never been diagnosed. And we have licensed clinicians at camp. They can see stuff immediately. So we really encourage parents, you know, we have to tell parents it's not a personal failure on your part. If your child needs therapy, if your child needs medication, if your child has a behavioral or a cognitive issue, but there's so much shame and embarrassment connected to this topic that parents are very reluctant to seek help.
Why do you think it's such a shame and embarrassment about it, though?
Oh, I talk to parents all the time, and you know, they'll say things like, I didn't know it could get this bad. I didn't know my child would be this way. And I'll share my story. You know, I have five kids. One of them got addicted. Four of them didn't. You know, four of them play video games, and when we tell them to turn it off and come to dinner, they turn it off and come to dinner. One of them refused. So it's not, you know, it's not based on your family. It's not based on your background. It's not based on your socioeconomic status. You know, it's brain chemistry that creates an addiction in one where it doesn't create it in another. And it's not a shameful, embarrassing thing. But to a lot of parents, you know, they have the perfect family or the perfect image, and they don't want to admit that one of their kids might have an issue.
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, and the companies that make these things make it that way.
Oh, yeah. They hire psychologists to kind of determine what will be most addictive in these social media and these gaming platforms.
Well, you mentioned in the beginning Fortnite, and my son plays it, and he gets off when I tell him to get off and stuff like that. But I see the addiction because he like, Dad, I can check out the store, see what's in the store tonight for this, you know, they call them skins. And then I see the kid's playing, and it's so addictive.
Oh, very much so. And it's become the way kids today socialize, which, you know, it's not, we tell the kids who come to camp, this is not punishment camp, even though you think it is. This is learn how to get what you want in life camp. Nobody here is ever going to tell you to never play video games again or never be on social media again, because that's not the real world that we live in. You know, we live in a technology connected world. You have to check your email. A lot of times you apply for a job by sending a text to some number. So you have to be savvy about it. And video games and chatting with friends online is fine in moderation. It's not fine if it's 20 hours a day every day and you're skipping school and you're skipping meals and you're not sleeping. So that's kind of where we come in.
Well, it's interesting too, the way kids socialize now. And I thought about that sitting to watch my son play. He's chatting with his friends, playing all that. But it's so much different now when it comes to interaction. Especially after we have the situation with the pandemic and stuff like that, everybody was online because they couldn't go anywhere. So it almost seemed like it became a habit.
Yeah, very much so. The pandemic did not help the situation at all. But what's funny is I will ask the kids at a camp, how many of you want to keep living with your parents when you're 25? And nobody raises their hand. And then I'll ask, we close the camp with a family workshop weekend. So I have the parents for the final weekend. And I'll ask the room full of parents, how many of you still want your kid living with you when they're 25? And nobody raises their hand. And I'll say, well, then you need to get a handle on this. And, you know, sending them to camp was a good first step. And then you need to continue after camp the routines that we've put in place. Because if you don't, and you continue to ignore it, and you let shame and embarrassment rule you, then your kid is not going to succeed. They're probably not going to graduate even high school, much less get into college or get out and get a real job.
It's interesting too. And so I understand that, because one of the questions I want to ask you is understand the technology addiction. You work in that field and stuff like that. What is like understand? What is it? I'm just curious. What is your definition of it?
My definition of it is if technology pulls your attention away from other non-technology based things, be it school, work, family, and good sleep. We talked about sleep every day at camp. If the technology is pulling you away from those interactions, then you've got a problem. You know, we had a mom try to sign her kid up for camp once because she thought he played too many video games. Mm-hmm. But in her application and in her screening questionnaire, we found out he plays basketball. He's on the debate team. He's a straight A student and he has a part-time job. So we're like, it sounds like a pretty good balance to us. I mean, that's kind of the outcome we're shooting for. So I'm sorry you think he's playing too many video games, maybe you could, you know, work on your sleep schedule a little bit. And we gave her some pointers on that, but we didn't take the kid into camp because he didn't need it.
Well, what's interesting too, is there any signs or symptoms like for kid addiction to technology? Because I know as an adult, I have an addiction to this, and I can tell I'm an adult, but some kids can't understand that.
Well, most kids can't understand that because the human brain doesn't continue to, you know, stop developing until you're like 25. That we've put smartphones and iPads in the hands of children and adolescents and teenagers. And every time I talk to parents, I'll say, what's the one thing that we like most of all at home? Then I'll flash the word quiet on the screen because that's what we really want. Parents want quiet. And we tell ourselves, oh, he's upstairs doing his homework. Well, he's not upstairs doing his homework. He's upstairs with the door closed and the earphones on and the Discord window open and he's playing some violent video game. Now it doesn't always have to be a violent video game. We have kids that come to camp that are social media addiction, and they don't play games at all, but they just can't, mostly girls, but they can't get off social media and they can't, you know, stand posting a picture that doesn't get enough likes within a short amount of time. So they have to take the picture down and then post a different picture with different filters to make them look more gorgeous. And it's just a vicious cycle.
It's interesting too about that, the girl, especially the self-esteem is a real hit and stuff like that, because you're always trying to, everybody thinks, and when you look at social media, that, oh man, that person must be doing really great, but that's not the real, that's not a real deal. That's not what's really going on.
Yeah. It's so fake. It's ridiculous. And it's so funny. When I first asked that question to kids, you know, how many of you have taken down a picture when it didn't get enough likes? Oh, every girl raises their hand and half the boys usually. And it just struck me so odd because anytime I post a photo on social media, which is not very often, I post it because I like it. I don't care if anybody else likes it. You know, it's my social media page and I posted it because I liked it. But I'm, you know, a much older generation than today. And all of their self-worth is tied into their online presence.
It's interesting today. We're preparing for this interview and stuff. And I happened to watch a TED talk about a gaming addiction. This guy was on there and he was talking about, he was 15. He dropped out of school at 15. Parents let him, that surprise. His dad would take him to the diner to wash dishes. Dad would drop him off. He'd get on the bus, go home, come to the bedroom window, take a nap, and do the whole video game again overnight. And we said he gave it up cold turkey. I'm like, wow, that must be hard to do.
Yeah. There are people who have stories like that, but most kids that we work with anyway, you know, can't seem to break the habit. And the parents have tried, they say they've tried everything. It's funny because we have a lot of parents that take their kids to, you know, a therapy appointment. Mm-hmm. And there really are not many therapists who are educated in technology addiction. You know, when I'm looking for therapists to work with kids at our camp program, and I'll get people that say, oh, well, I'm an addiction specialist. And then if I look more into that, that's, you know, a drug and an alcohol addiction specialist. And drug and alcohol addiction is a different animal than technology addiction. Technology addiction is actually closer to an overeating disorder. You have to eat to live. You can't just stop eating. Well, technology is in our world and it's never leaving. So you can't completely go off the grid and function in society. So, you know, it has to be a diet. It can't just be a cold turkey stop.
Well, one thing too is I was wondering is maybe the cause, like maybe some impact on kids. Like maybe we talk about that a little bit, because I know that long-term, the social addiction, you know, we talk about the girls with social media, but also long-term effects. Have you seen any kid that just didn't work out in situation of the camp and just didn't work with you guys? And have you seen any effects?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had parents that have been very dishonest in their screening. And got their kid into the program and only to have the kid sent out of the program within a week, and usually on to a different program, more of a therapeutic or a wilderness kind of program. Like I said, it's because we're not in anger management. That seems to be the one issue. Although we did have a mother send her kid saying he was high-functioning Asperger's. Mm-hmm. And when he arrived at camp, he was very low functioning Asperger's and he just couldn't comprehend the program. He couldn't comprehend the life skills we were doing. So we had to send that kid home. We tell parents up front that it's it's best to be honest in the interview and on the questionnaire, because if we end up sending your kid home, you know, we don't refund for behavioral discharge. If that's the case, the kid feels like a failure. You feel like a failure. We feel like a failure. So, you know, there are other programs that you can send your kids to that are usually more intensive, more expensive than ours, but it all depends on the individual kid.
What are signs and symptoms? Maybe we can do that. Signs and symptoms of social media addiction and gaming addiction. Well, there's some things that parents can look out for.
Well, secretive behavior is the first one. And that can be anything from unwillingness to show you their phone to locking their bedroom doors when they're inside playing video games. It really all depends on the kid. And then time and sleep. Those are the biggies. I recommend all parents, have a family meeting with their kids and their family and maybe start with an apology and say, you know, I really didn't realize it was this bad, but starting this coming weekend, we are all going to get 8 hours of sleep. So that means I'm going to take your device at 9 p.m. I'm going to take the power cords to the computers. I'm going to take the power cord to the router. I'm going to lock them all in my, you know, master bedroom closet on a charging cord, so everything's charged up and ready to go in the morning. But we're going to bed at 10 o'clock and, you know, we're not getting our devices back until at least 6 a.m. Because sleep, you know, I tell the kids every day at camp, if you get nothing out of this camp at all, except one thing, you need to understand how important sleep is. Because without good sleep, you're not a good gamer. You're not good on social media. You're not a good student. You're not a good member of your family. You're not a good employee. You know, sleep is so critical. And so many of these kids are sleep deprived.
Well, it's interesting, too, is also you talked about learning life skills, too. And I bet you, like, kids must be all excited once they figure out they actually can do stuff for themselves and feel proud of themselves, too.
Yeah, it's actually wonderful to watch every summer. You know, the first week, our program is 4 weeks on purpose. Because the first weeks, most of the kids are hesitant. They don't want to cooperate. They're pouting. They want to go home. They hate us. You know, all of that stuff. But by the second week, they're starting to take an interest and make some social connections. And by the third week, they're kind of normal kids again. And they're doing their own laundry and they're participating in the cooking classes and the self-defense classes. And their, you know, their conversations with the therapists are deeper and more involved. And then by the fourth week, we're all a little happy family and nobody misses their phones. It's really incredible.
I can remember a story just as myself and went fishing out in Western Massachusetts where there was no cell signal at all. And that was the best week ever. I was just thinking about taking the phone away for a couple of weeks and being disconnected. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, and we do a lot of outdoor activities to get the kids to try to appreciate the natural world. Like I said, we go to the beach once a week. We go on hikes twice a week. And it's really for no reason other than to get them outside and moving. Because most of these kids are very sedentary, very stagnant. You know, a lot of obesity is running rampant in childhood and teenagers today because they just sit on their phones or sit in front of their computers and they're not active.
Also, I was thinking about, too, the social impact on kids and stuff like that. Nowadays, kids don't know how to make friends. They don't go outside. I very rarely see anybody right around the neighborhood. But it's just interesting to watch because I remember growing up, we'd have, like, people, I wouldn't want to come in the house. My mother had to drag me in at 9 o'clock at night because we're hanging out with friends in the neighborhood. I don't see that anymore.
No, very, very little. You know, I'm the same way. You know, we would ride our bikes and the rule was come home when the streetlights come on. And that was usually dinner time. So that was good. But it's a much different world today. So I don't know if it's more dangerous or it's just perceived more dangerous because we're all online and we all, you know, we track our children on their location status on their phones. And if they're not home when they say they're going to be home, we get worried. But all of that aside, you know, we expose the kids to a whole bunch of social interactions and social activities, and we encourage them to do, you know, to continue that when they go home. I've been to three school plays in the last 3 or 4 years from kids who took our improv course at camp and liked it so much, they went home and joined their high school theater group and then invited me to come see them in a play. So that just totally warms my heart because they're involving and they're interacting and acting and they're out in the real world and they're not home on a video game.
What is some of the roles and the parents can play in helping kids find a balance?
Well, the first thing I tell every parent is you need to get over the shame and embarrassment of how did I let this happen? Okay. That was yesterday. Yes, it's your fault. Fine. That's yesterday. Let's move forward with a new vision for today. And I tell them the very first thing to do is have open, non-judgmental communication with your kid. And by that, I mean, you know, ask your kid, you know, sit on the bed with your kid and ask your kid to show you their Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, most kids are going to be reluctant to do that, but you need to assure them that you're not looking for anything. You just want to get to know what it is they're doing. And if it helps to justify it to the parents, I'll tell them, chances are you paid for that phone. Chances are you paid for that subscription for that phone. So you have every right to know what's on it. I do tell parents, you know, if you ask your kid to see an Instagram and they have to log into it, it's not their Instagram. There's apps today that actually look like calculators that will cover up Instagram. Wow. So if you're showing a parent a phone, they see it's a calculator and they move on because they can't tell it's a real Instagram. And same with games. I'll even encourage parents to make a character and play the game with their kid. They might think it is the stupidest waste of time in the world, but it drives their kid. Their kid is finding something passionate about it. So let them teach you about the game they're playing. It's really a matter of open communication and time. And sleep. We just launched like 2 weeks ago an online course for parents that answers this very question, because the Reset Summer Camp program is great, but it's only in the summer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get people calling me in November saying, you know, what do I do with my kid? And I'm like, well, you can send them to camp in 7 months, or now you can go to the online program. And the cool thing about the online program is we will credit the cost of the online program to the cost of sending your kid to camp. So it's really free. If you decide you go through the program and you still need more help and you still need to send your kid to camp, then you can just go ahead and register them. And if you get approved and your kid can attend, we'll deduct the entire cost of the program.
Nice. That's a great thing. You guys offering stuff like that. It's really important. I think it's all to make the connections. I mean, wrapping up, I think it's like making connection with other people, because we're losing that with the digital world.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'll ask the kids at camp, you know, how many of you have online friends who you've never met in the real world? And all of them will raise their hands. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them and I'll tell the parents that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, chances are your 13-year-old might have found a couple other 13-year-olds and they all like the same game. But if you're worried about it, then you have your 13-year-old suggest a FaceTime or a Zoom, you know, something with that friend and that friend's parents. So you can meet them, they can meet you. It can be a 2-minute interaction. And if that friend doesn't agree to that, then you have a red flag.
Well, definitely. It's because one thing I did with my son, and I thought it was interesting, and his phone, yeah, I told them at any minute, any time, any day, I will look at it randomly to check it. I'm not mad at you. I told them I will check it because I want to make sure you're safe. That's really important to me.
Yeah. And that's the exact conversation we recommend parents have with their kids.
Wrapping up, final thoughts. Anyone leave the parents about digital addiction, technology addiction, something you want to leave with them?
Well, like kind of like we'd already talked about, I think everything starts with sleep. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, the brain development, youth development, everything starts with a good night's sleep. And so many of these kids use their phones as their alarm clocks, that the phones are charging right next to their heads in their beds. I'll tell parents to go to Walmart and get a $4 alarm clock, you know, and put it on a desk or a dresser. Don't put it next to the bed. So the kid actually has to get up to go turn the buzzer off, and now they're up. They can make their bed and start their day. But take the technology out of the bedrooms. I recommend video game parents move that computer to the kitchen or the dining room or some other central family location, not up in the kids' bedroom. So sleep and removing technology from the bedrooms are my two best points.
Michael, thank you much for being on the podcast tonight. Where they can connect you, they want to find more about the camp and more about you.
You can just go to resetsummercamp.com, spelled out just like it sounds. My contact information is on there. The link to the online course is on there. And when you go, you'll actually get, there's a pop-up window that offers you a free guide, the top 10 signs that your teen may be at risk of technology addiction, and they can download that for free.
Michael, thank you much for being on the podcast, and I really do appreciate all the links will be in the show notes for this episode. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Wrapping up this episode, I want to thank Michael Jacobs for being a guest on the podcast. You can find more about him over at resetsummercamp.com. You can find all the links in the show notes over at nosittingonthesideline.com/141. Please reach out, leave a comment, any questions, or you just want to say hello. I'd love to hear from you. You can find all my information and my contact information at nosittingonthesideline.com/contact. Hey, exciting news for you. As we navigated this challenge of technology impacting our kids, Michael was great to offer this exclusive opportunity to take the first step towards digital balance and well-being. Courtesy of Enlightening Discussion, Michael from the Reset Summer Camp extended a special promo code that grants you 10% discount. Code is SIDELINE. This is a chance to gain access to invaluable insight and strategy and tools to help you and your family thrive in the digital age. Check it out. The code is SIDELINE. It'll be, all the stuff will be in the links in the show notes for this episode. Final thoughts wrapping up. I learned a lot today about the effects of technology. Some of the life skills kids are missing out nowadays because they don't have the opportunity or they're too wrapped up in their phones or the video games. Like making dinner for themselves, socializing friends besides online. Essential life skills like changing a tire, making a bed, maybe even sewing a button on clothes. There's a lot to learn. Tech can be helpful, but also can ruin families. It makes me think a little bit. Hope it makes you think too. Until next time, take a minute from your phone and listen to your kids and find the joys of connecting. Until next time, take care. God bless. See ya.